are you doing?
Shauna McManus, a UMass graduate student in communication disorders, is at her computer in an austere office at the UMass Center for Language, Speech, and Hearing.
All the way in, James. All the way in.
James Zioli is a first grader at Sunderland Elementary School, where his teacher and aide have set up a computer monitor in the library.
All right, you ready?
In a computer window, McManus can see James sitting at a table and speaking into a microphone. James can see her face, and he can follow along with visual materials she puts up on the screen.
See all the animals, James?
Yeah.
Those are all of them.
An apple, a giraffe, a fish, a dog, yes, snake.
Nice work.
This is how McManus gives James speech and language therapy every week, a method called telepractice. Since James was diagnosed with autism at 2, he's had trouble comprehending language. So for their first exercise, they read a picture book together, and she quizzes him on what happened.
And what did she do?
She made the bridge.
She made a bridge, you're right. And what did Kiki Marie get?
A blue ribbon.
James, I need your hands off the microphone so I can hear you, okay?
By the end of the session, James gets fidgety and has some trouble focusing. But the UMass researchers working with him say it's no worse than during face-to-face therapy. And in fact, there are many advantages to doing it this way.
Children are very motivated by technology, extremely motivated by technology. And so this is another really nice way to tap into those interests and skills.
Michelle Boisvert is a PhD candidate in communication disorders whose research specialty is telepractice. She says it's spreading quickly in her field.
There's a critical shortage of speech pathologists nationwide. And so we're constantly looking for new ways to access students with disabilities. And telepractice is an emerging way to use technology to provide those services.
Increasingly, Medicaid, Medicare, and private insurers are paying for video conferencing therapy sessions the way they would for the in-person version. And Boisvert says telepractice, sometimes called telemedicine, is gaining wider acceptance among educators and medical professionals who previously considered it an inferior type of intervention. In a recent scientific literature review, Boisvert and her colleagues found no difference in the clinical outcome between telepractice and face-to-face therapy. With some exceptions.
Like a swallowing disorder, for example, where you may need to manipulate, like physically manipulate the person. Or if you're doing some sort of prompting, like physical prompting, you know, with a child. But for a lot of our services, they really can be provided.
All right. Simon says reach up and try to touch the sky. Try and reach as high as you can. No, don't stand on the chair, James.
It was James's communication problems that first suggested he might be autistic. Michael Zioli is his father.
He wouldn't respond to his name. We'd call him, and he just wouldn't respond, and we weren't sure if he didn't understand his name or just didn't hear us.
A lot of James's sentences, he would sort of fill in with jargon that didn't really mean much of anything. So we had to sort of negotiate and figure out what he was trying to tell us or what he was trying to say.
James's mother, Amy, credits the speech therapy with helping him overcome other developmental problems and teaching him to socialize better. For several years, they would drive the 20 minutes to and from UMass for the sessions. But when he started first grade, James's parents were concerned that all the travel time was taking away from classroom learning. Amy says they were happy to switch to telepractice therapy.
I think after the initial interest in seeing his speech therapist on TV, I think it just seems totally natural to him. And after observing him doing the therapy that way, it doesn't seem like there's any sort of glitch at all in terms of what he can take out of the speech therapy itself.
UMass researcher Michelle Boisvert says they do occasionally lose their internet connection, interrupting the session, and there are some rural areas in Massachusetts and elsewhere, including isolated areas that most need telemedicine that have yet to get high-speed broadband. But she's expecting technology to improve and spread. Eventually, Boisvert is hoping for larger and better resolution computer screens so that therapists can more easily pick up on their patients' subtle cues, making physical proximity all but redundant.
James, you did a really good job working hard for me. I'll see you next week, okay?
Bye.
Bye.
For WFCR and WNNZ, I'm Karen Brown.